Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome to Indeed. It's the Independent Wrestling Podcast. I'm Mike Hamley, here again with my wonderful co-host, Righteous Reg.
In the building, it's your boy, Media Man, your favorite writer, your favorite wrestler. Nope, that's not my thing. Favorite writer, favorite rapper, your favorite podcaster. I'm a little bit hungover today and I smoked a ton of weed, but that's only because Effie was going to be here. So I knew I had to smoke a lot of weed. Super excited about this. What a life. One of the best, brightest, well-known independent wrestlers in the world. When you talk about independent wrestling, you don't talk about Effie. It's like, what are you even talking about here? So today, our very special guest. We're so happy to have Effie here. How are you today, Effie?
Thank you for having me. I'm awesome today. I returned from Australia last night at 11 p.m.
Oh, sure.
And I leave for New York City Friday morning.
Oh, perfect.
I'm global. I'm glad you brought that up, that like I've taken over indie wrestling. Mm-hmm. I was a little nervous because I've been pretty vocal about, you know, not wanting certain work conditions for Effie. And so it's kept me off of a lot of bigger platforms. I've done that to myself, mm-hmm. really. And now I've kind of pigeonholed myself. But to still have people coming out there after you say, hey, the indies are not a stepping stone for me. This is a place where I want to make my career. This is a place where I'm going to pay for my house with my family. There's ways you have to do this that are not the typical wrestling way, but I've managed to make it work, you know, through thick and thin. So we're still out here. I'm doing the sixth big gay brunch.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I want to start, because we are independent wrestling podcasts.
Yeah.
So that's all we want to talk about. That's all we're about. Some people don't want to go to WrestleMania. Some people don't want to be the WWE champion or the AEW champion, even at this point. They want to go and do what they saw people do in 2002, what they saw AJ Styles doing in the independent wrestling scene, what they saw Amazing Red doing, what they saw the Briscoe brothers doing, kind of people that inspired them differently than like people were inspired by wrestlers in the 90s. So did it start out that way? Was it originally like, you know what, maybe I do want to be in WrestleMania. Maybe I do want to be the WWE champion. Or was it always kind of like a conscious effort to be an independent wrestling star?
So, I mean, publicly, the way I've described it is I think I have a little bit of an itch to answer a question. And so, like, I don't want to say I'm just existing as an experiment, but I kind of needed to know, with the way distribution has shifted so much to the internet, to social media, to being able to get in front of people without having to have sort of the permission to do it, or needing someone else to put you in front of a million people. I mean, you look at TikTok. If I would pay attention to TikTok the way other people do, there are videos of me with millions and millions of views out there, but other people are just capturing them and putting them out there. So it's possible to get the audience. It's just, you have to go about it a little bit of a different way. And so I kind of wanted to see, is there a way to be kind of a household name, to put it in a better, you know, wording, without ever having to touch cable TV, without ever sort of bending to advertisers or bending your content. I can be a bit of an adult entertainer.
A little bit.
I think of this as art. I think of this as expression. I think of this as storytelling. And I don't want the formulaic sort of compromise of, well, you have 7 minutes and you need to get a shine and a heat and you need to get this guy over and we have to make sure we put over the Mountain Dew. Instead of doing that, it's like, hey, I'm presented with challenges every time you book me, but you've chosen to have me there. No one's having to sit through me to get to Hulk Hogan. People are seeking us out specifically. And yeah, of course, they want to say, oh, it's bingo halls, it's this and that. But the growth that I've seen over the past few years of where we've been able to wrestle, and also the people coming to independent shows that aren't following wrestling in a large scale form, that just find this as that weekend entertainment. It's been such a rewarding way to sort of, I don't want to call myself like a grassroots Bernie Sanders, but I'm sort of a grassroots Bernie Sanders, where like I'm in the pit with the people. Right. I'm seeing what the people are interested in. I'm seeing if what I'm doing is connecting the way I expect it to. And Am I turning away from advice? Maybe sometimes, but I'm also looking around me at every type of wrestling, TV wrestling, old wrestling. You brought up kind of the 90s, 2000s of this independent burst. And I sort of even go back further to like those territory days of late 70s, even before that, of these guys that were sort of like, we're going to go, we're going to do our job. We're going to have wrestling matches. We'll work for you as long as it works out. And then we'll work somewhere else and kind of going town to town. And now we have a bit of a, you know, a global microscope on what we're able to do. Like I was just in Australia. It was live on Fight TV. Anyone who subscribed to Fight TV can watch the Australia matches. And we wouldn't have had that back in the day. Mm-mm. But if you're giving people a conscious reason to seek you out, you know, you're being given more opportunities to come out because they're seeing success in that. So it's been a weird journey so far. I can think of specific moments where like I closed certain doors. A weird story. I was going to do NXT Extra work in 2016.
Wow. Whoa.
And I got a blood test done and the doctor said, you have hepatitis C. And I said, really? And she sent me to a specialist and the specialist goes, what did this doctor tell you? And I said, the doctor told me I had hepatitis C and it's a 7 out of 10 on the worry scale. And he goes, I'm going to rerun your blood right now. You absolutely do not have hepatitis C. You have normal readings on your test. I don't know what she was reading. Test your blood again right now. And he had a rush one done. I didn't have it, but having to inform them of when I first got told, hey, your blood test is not going to be accurate, and saying, hey, I can't come to NXT. You sort of wonder if like, either God or the devil was putting his little hand there to say like, you've got a different path, young man. And now like the 7th big gay brunch is about to be in Liverpool, England. So it's just been, it's been a really chaotic 2022. And in 2023, you know, I started the year taking a little time off and kind of trying to make sure this massive indie success wasn't tearing up what was going on in my home. And I think that will always be the big balance, because you think indie wrestler, you think, oh yeah, he might do a show in another state or he might do a show here. But like I calculated my average speed for last year. If you took every single hour independently of the total amount that I traveled, and at any given moment, I'm going 17 miles an hour. It's a crazy travel schedule to be able to show up and perform the way we perform. And I think as a performer, I feel more comfortable than ever. And I think now I'm looking at not necessarily like the Jeff Jarrett match or the John Moxley match, but looking at like who is going to treat me like that Moxley or treat me like that Jeff Jarrett and needs that opportunity to get a bigger platform. And like, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I've literally created so much platforming, even in just where I'm wrestling and who I'm choosing as opponents. If you're not even paying attention to how many people have gotten booked on Big Gay Brunch and then gone on to do more things. Nobody in the TV companies will say my name out loud, but they are very grateful that I've given them optics on a lot more that's in this business than what they understood. Sorry, that was a real ramble, but I'm passionate about this shit and I think about it too much.
No, absolutely. As you should. And the big, you know, like the bingo hall statement and stuff that you were kind of referring to earlier, it's like you look at something like GCW and IWS and how many people they packed into La Olympia in Montreal. And it's like, it's not in the big arena where the hockey team plays, but how many people are here losing their shit watching?
A lot of people. But even in the sense of like, let's say there weren't a lot of people, in my mind, and maybe I'm giving a little too much credit to the situation, for people in any sense in today's environment to come together post-COVID, to come together outside of their homes, to leave their house, you know, even a couple hundred people coming to an event, we sometimes overlook how important that really is and how, you know, these TV companies have huge advertising budgets. They have TV commercials saying we're about to be in your town. What we have is social media and word of mouth. And once again, that grassroots thing, to me, it's still really incredible to see any kind of wrestling shows going on right now that don't have that TV plug, that don't have that extra oomph of, you know, so-and-so from Hall of Fame is doing a meet and greet that's just based on, hey, this is entertaining wrestling. And we think it is. And seeing the growth of a lot of those companies over the past few years that have sort of taking their own risks. It's gone from, indies are a stepping stone to hoping you'll get signed and we wish you the best, to these are companies that have, you know, lifelong fans that have been following them around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Totally.
Go ahead, Rich.
I kind of have a couple questions about, you talked about wrestling being art and wrestling being doing it different than all the other independent wrestlers. Specifically, places out here in the Bay like UGWA and Hood Slam are doing things. Like, I go to those shows and they're not regular wrestling fans. You go to a Hood Slam show and there's people that don't care about wrestling at all, but they're having the best time and they go to every Hood Slam show. How is it to be able to go to places like that and express your art in different places around the country and not have to compromise it? And how cool is it that there are so many different places that are trying to do different things and inclusive things and just have a different set of rules than what professional wrestling is supposed to be, quote unquote?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of companies you go to that are trying to appeal to wrestling fans. And as you all know, us being wrestling fans, we can be kind of fickle about this stuff. Yeah. And so there's really a split mindset now. And I'm kind of on both sides. And I'll say it, I'm a hypocrite of, if you give me the assignment and tell me what my match is and tell me what I'm doing, there are functional cheat codes as wrestlers we can use to make sure things make sense, to make sure we have the things that necessarily make the story make sense in a wrestling.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Term, but also, I had an argument with someone the other day about this, where they said about, you know, a few of these companies, why do they have to complicate it so much? Why can't they just do traditional wrestling? It makes sense. It's easier to plug and play. And it's sort of like you asking that is the reason this is necessary.
Right.
Wrestling isn't defined by anyone. You can say, oh, this is how wrestling is supposed to go. But the only rules that are in place are because someone before someone before someone before someone was like, this is how you do it. This is the only way. And they were like, are there any other ways? And they were like, no, not because there were any other ways, but because they were lazy and dumb and stupid. And Exactly. Everyone took it as gospel instead of saying, hey, you know, this works. But also, if you go see movies, there are different types of roller coasters you go on. There are different types of rides you take. And even if they're very different, it doesn't mean they're not movies. And I think with wrestling, any kind of match can be a wrestling match. They can be good and they can be bad. Yeah. But to say that it has to fit some sort of specific thing that's gone on for 20, 30 years when ratings are in the absolute garbage. I mean, come brag to me that 1 million people watched your show on cable. Awesome. Wow. We're so impressed. Billions of people will watch a TikTok or a YouTube video. Yeah. It's a different game. Do I get the same advertising receptacle from being an internet person? No. And that's kind of the grand question, is how do we use this distribution to our advantage outside of just views and getting people to come to shows? How do we monetize this better? But when I see them bragging about Raw getting a 1.5 or AEW getting 800,000 3 weeks in a row, I'm going that, hey, nobody really knows what they're doing. It feels like everybody's throwing spaghetti at the wall and going, this worked in 1998 and 2004. Why isn't it giving us the same results now? And it's because if you overlay all of this wrestling on top of each other, we've sort of used every trope possible, and we have repeated the same shots. We've repeated the same storylines. We've repeated the same type of characters instead of saying, hey, maybe we could use some growth or we could use some change. And I have sort of referred to it as tucking our tails, because we have such a pride in our wrestling, and you have to do this and you have to show up for training and you have to have this, versus how could wrestling be easily accessible to people while we still maintain what we believe is the right version of it, or we believe is a correct version of wrestling, while also allowing more people to come in without having to know 8 years of storyline, or, well, you don't know what happened at this WrestleMania, and this is a callback to that. And this is, oh, actually, this is an inside joke that everybody knows. It should be palatable to everyone on viewing, and it shouldn't be something that is so overly complicated or requires so much insider knowledge that, you know, Deborah, who's just bringing her kids because they want to see Roman Reigns, has no clue what's going on through the first 2 hours of this show.
Right. Yeah, that's it's a crazy line that's being led at this point. Last week, we talked a little bit about you on our show, and we just need an update kind of on events that went down, because recently you had a match on somebody's birthday. That match featured
you up.
A no rope barbed wire match and a very and it was talking about a lot of views, a spot that's been viewed many times.
I just want to say first, I'm a deathmatch legend.
Yeah, okay? No doubt about it. 100%.
I've had to kind of remind people that just because I'm fucking hilarious doesn't mean I'm a comedy wrestler. Right. If there's moments of comedy, it's because I don't take you seriously even a little bit. And that's your own fault for being in the ring with me and not giving your all. With the Jimmy Lloyd match, though, sometimes absurdity to me, like I'm a big surreal absurdist person. And when Sabu from ECW and Jimmy Lloyd walk up to you on his birthday and they go, will you please do a no rope barbed wire match with about
Sabu was there notice?
Oh, Sabu was just there hanging out, vibing. And so with those two talking to you and going, oh yeah, we promised them a death match. We can't do glass. We can't do this. Let's just do a no rope barbed wire match. The only thing we should have streamed was us actually setting up the barbed wire to show people how it's done. That barbed wire was wrong. I should not have trusted it a bit. Eesh. And I've got to be honest, Peter, who does my podcast with me, he's also kind of my personal shaman. And we were doing an end of January reading, and he was like, middle of the month, 17th, 18th, watch out for sharp stuff and fire. Eesh. I didn't get lit on fire, but I certainly dealt with sharp stuff. I will say the human body is kind of like magic, the way it heals. And obviously wrestling with large back wounds is not admirable, but I did it. So it's now healed up, but I wrestled all the way through it. And I was, I'm back.
It was like the first spot of the match, honestly, pretty much.
Yeah,
like,
well, and here's my thing. In storytelling, I'm a believer of the exclamation point. If you watch any of my matches, you will find you can probably point out what the exclamation point is. There's play around period, there's setting the tone, and then there's the exclamation point. And we did ours a little bit early in that match, but it sort of like had to glue people to the screen because you're looking at me going, and my dumbass is on the floor asking ref Adam Galt, is it a cut or a gash? And he goes, it doesn't look good. And I roll back in the ring and Jimmy, cut or a gash? And he goes, it's fine. And I think when Jimmy tells you it's fine, but everyone else, when you say, how's my cuts? And they go, ooh, before they answer you, that's not a good cut.
Right.
No. Honestly, well, you're talking about the exclamation mark. I thought that was like the running Death Valley driver to the floor.
Oh, to the floor? Maybe we had two exclamations.
That whole, like I was watching that. So like for context, we do every week, Reg and I each recommend 5 matches that we've seen recently that you need to check out, basically. And that happened to be in mine because, you know, no real barbed wire has to be.
Yeah, I love it.
But
I want to clarify something about this match. If you were listening to commentary, and I don't want to name drop who the commentator was, who is the fucking owner of GCW, me and Jimmy Lloyd were both completely sober. I did not have anything before this match. I walked into this match completely sober. He made references that we were crazy enough that we would probably have to do some sort of drugs before we got into this mess. And I remember looking at Jimmy backstage and I go, how fucking stupid are we? We're going to get in the barbed wire just as we are. We've been standing in the cold all night. And I think you can even see when I get in the ring, there's a laugh that comes over my face. And it's not because this is hilarious, but it's because if I zoomed out and I was viewing myself as God, it would be fucking hilarious.
That is, there's just so many things going on there. I'm stuck on just Sabu randomly just kicking it. Yeah. Like, and Jimmy Lloyd's like, hey, we got to go pitch this match to Effie. Like, I should probably get Sabu to help me with it.
Sabu did help. He also came to me after and he goes, kid, what are you doing? You gotta drag the barbed wire out. You can't just go right into it. And I was like, thank you for letting me know, Sabu.
Sabu's like, you blew your load that early, dude. Come on, man. Somebody that would fucking flip on tables without any of them being there. If he says that it was the wrong time, I guess you gotta listen, right?
We live and we learn. I don't think I'll be doing any no rope barbed wire matches anytime soon. I'm sure I can't be convinced. Please don't try to convince me.
Not on 2 hours' notice for money. Let's get into the big gay brunch though.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot going on. Pack show.
Number six.
Did you ever think that we would be here, Effie? Did you ever think we'd get to the sixth big gay on the first big gay brunch where you're like, there's gonna be 6 more of these?
No, I thought it was a one and done. I didn't even think it would happen because the first one I did I had joked with Brett about it. I said, I'm going to book a gay brunch. And he's like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And I was like, you know, like just book all the gay talent. He goes, are there that many gay talent? You know, and at this time there were, but it's, we have to know about each other.
Right.
And I booked the first show and thank fucking God it didn't happen because of some of the jackasses I had booked. Cause I had this mentality in my mind of like, if I'm going to get these gay people over, if I'm going to get these LGBTQ talents over, we have to appeal to the wrestling fan a little bit. And then I found out wrong. COVID hit, that event was canceled. And so when the October event came around that was in Indiana, that was masked, that was in a very straight looking building, I literally only booked people that I knew, except for Cassandra. Everyone else on that show is someone that I could personally verify. We were after speaking out. We were after COVID. I needed to make sure people were going to be on their vaccines, on their masks, not you know, messing up their behavior. And going forward from there, it sort of became a lot of people coming out to me. I probably shouldn't say this. This is, never have I been told about so many people sucking dick, while just trying to get a job and not actually trying to get their dick sucked. It was a fascinating time.
And reverse Pat Patterson.
It's yeah. And it's sort of like, you know, you want to provide the space for everyone. You're glad more people are feeling comfortable coming out, but especially this year. And as it has grown, being able to make sure I am featuring everyone in this LGBT community, it's almost impossible. And I'm excited to see more queer shows popping up. I'm excited to see more queer talent just at regular shows that aren't necessarily queer shows. But I think I like, especially, you know, these weeks I took off, I was beating myself up trying to figure out how to do this card and who to feature and how to make this work, because Los Angeles is a really tough town. It's not easy to get people to Los Angeles. And so people sort of made decisions on their own to be there. It helped out a little bit, but it's also, I run the risk of, is this going to be a 3-hour show, which is sort of what I aim for, or is this going to be an 8-hour show and everyone's so sick of this and there's 30 scrambles just because I want to feature everyone. And I think it's been hard to have the conversation to go, hey, Effie, you've done really good things, and be honest with myself like that. And then also say, hey, Effie, you have to sell out a building and you can't just keep holding everybody's hands to get them there. You have to make choices. You have to pick the people that are really working. And I always say that these WrestleMania time shows, they are not the time for you to really break out. I mean, in a sense it is, but it's also sort of an amalgamation of the whole year and who I've been looking at all year that's been working really hard, picking up bookings, jumping in the cars, making a name for themselves, maybe losing a few bucks on the road. Those are the people I'm looking at to give that chance to go even bigger, not just to say, oh, you had one match last year, you got to be on the show, I got to find a place for you. It's hard sometimes, and people don't see the DMs, but I mean, I get a lot of, you know, language that isn't polite to me, or you know, why are you leaving me out? Why aren't you including me? And it makes me feel bad. But I also have to sort of like blunt myself to it and go, you have to put on the best show possible. You need to feature the queer talent that needs to be featured. And you need to make sure that you're giving the fans what they want. And with six of them under our belts, there are a lot of mainstays. There are a lot of returns. There are a lot of new people. It's really exciting, and it's crazy, and it's stressful. And I joked that at this show, I was going to have a ladder match and the winner gets brunch, because I'm fucking sick of being the target of all the DMs.
Does brunch actually get served? Like, is there brunch food at Big Bear Brunch?
So the first brunch, no, because it was COVID and I'm not serving food in COVID. The second brunch, no, because it was in Florida and it was a mess. The third brunch in Chicago, barely, because I picked up catering McDonald's. I said to Brett, if I have to get catering McDonald's at 1 a.m., I'm going to be pissed. And after war games at 1 a.m., catering McDonald's, we still had brunch. We ended up raising about $1,000 for a charity just through that breakfast food, which was awesome. But then when we finally came to Dallas, there was food served in the venue, which gave me hope, because I didn't have to do the serving. And in Chicago, we actually got someone to come in, Megan, who is a teacher in the Chicagoland area, to come in and do that brunch with some bussy chorizo biscuits and all sorts of stuff. But now at the Ukrainian Cultural Center for the sixth iteration, the Ukrainian Cultural Center serves the best Mexican food in that whole area of the city. And they are specifically going to be doing some Mexican breakfast food, some Mexican tacos and burritos for the brunch. And as I did in Chicago, we are going to have Ali teach them how to make mimosas. The guy in Chicago that runs the venue, he's Mexican, and he was speaking to me, and I don't speak much Spanish. He doesn't speak much English, but he told me, he said, amigo, last year, so many mimosas. I go to sleep still serving mimosas. I said, okay. So it worked out for everyone that I was like, right. I have to have champagne and orange juice. And he was like, really? And I was like, yes. And they were happy. I was happy. The fans were certainly happy. He said, I've never seen so many people drink that many mimosas. And I think that's reflective too of like, it is a party. Yeah, it's a wrestling show. Yeah, there's competition. Yeah, there's intense matches and fun matches, but it's also us all coming together and going crazy. People dress up. People do the unexpected. I sort of don't say no to anything. If anybody has a crazy idea, I sort of let people have their creative time, you know? And at that point, usually it's after I've had five other matches. So I can't really argue with you anyway.
And the crowds too. There's a lot of hot people at these shows, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
A lot of hot people.
Hot people coming to wrestling, hot people showing their true self, hot people enjoying each other and celebrating each other. Yeah. Even the heels that are booed, we're still celebrating if they look good, if they're totally. If they've got the fire. And, you know, we've gotten to do crazy international stuff so far. And it's like, it feels like tip of the iceberg, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy because we just, for Grapsody, we just interviewed Billy Dixon yesterday. And what you were saying about booking the show is exactly what he was saying about booking for the culture. Cause it's like, there's this vast amount of Black talent out there. There's now like, I make lists and now they have the QWI, the queer wrestling list of 200. So like, it's totally different ball game than it was when you started this as like a lot more people are out. You got a lot more people to book.
Yeah. And I like, I sort of hesitate to complain about it sometimes because it's like,
that's cool.
Billy Dixon. It's great. It's yeah. awesome. There are so many LGBTQ wrestlers. There are so many Black wrestlers. There are so many wrestlers of color, wrestlers of different genders. Mm-hmm. And to get to have them showcase their sort of unique storytelling or their story is awesome. For us, it's a personal gripe of just like, how do we manage this? There's not a team other than us calling Brett, us figuring things out, me calling Alley Cat and going, you know, is this, oh sorry, Alley Catch. And saying, does this make sense? And her going, no, that doesn't make any fucking sense, and running me down. So I think, you know, it's one thing to have six WrestleMania matches. It's another thing to have six WrestleMania matches and be the point of contact on the largest queer wrestling show that's ever been thrown. So I'm looking forward to enjoying my time in LA, but I also hold a very, you know, there's a chip on my shoulder to make sure for everyone that this goes extremely well.
Awesome. And
you've booked a hell of a card for the show.
I haven't released shit yet, y'all.
Well, no, I was thinking about that because there's some announcement graphics for talent announcements that I noticed don't have corresponding match graphics yet. one of them even Thrissy. I noticed was one of the
Thrissy's got problems ahead, but think it will all make sense. And I'm not trying to give away anything here, but I've really enjoyed doing more storytelling work this year and sort of pulling Brett in and going, exhibition matches are bullshit. And me and Allie sort of had the same thought and saying, we can do something that's more elevated. We can plan.
So there's going to be a jerk in this match.
I think there's going to be a jerk
on the card, a big jerk.
Huh? And I've always joked because somebody will be like, is so-and-so gay? Is so-and-so gay? You know, if I book 35 gay people, I'm allowed to book one hot evil dude.
Yeah.
And the fans usually like it anyway. But then, you know, I'm looking at, you know, Fred Rosser versus Karam. Karam recently came out. Karam recently, you know, what do they call it? The soft launch of the relationship on Instagram or however you do it. Mm-hmm. And I sort of reached out to Karam and I was like, listen, you know, if you're up for this, if you want to really show the world who you are, I'm not going to force you out of anything. And he hadn't really discussed much yet. And then I think he sort of said, let's do this. Let me be that person. And I think what you're going to find with anybody who is true to themselves, they are performing at a higher level. You can pretend at the highest level possible, but when you are yourself, there is no easier way to put all of your effort into something because you're not having to think about making sure you look a certain way or act a certain way. Mm-hmm. You are just yourself now. And that's sort of the magic of this show. I mean, I'm just pinching the iceberg here. I missed the screen. I'm trying to remember all the matches. Okay. Steph DeLander. Steph DeLander, I got to spend time with a little bit last year, but then I just went to Australia and thank God. She is dynamite. She is crazy. They let her go at NXT, which blows my mind because she's such a not just a hoss and a powerhouse. And she's now teaming up with Cardona and Myers. And I think that's going to be a more permanent fixture. Mm-hmm. But she is has such a mind for how a match should go and how opponents should look and how these things should work out. And I know my experience with Sandra Moon has been that she'll just beat your ass. So
Sandra Moon is incredible. She's incredible. So good. Oh my God.
She had a highlight gif actually from the last big gay brunch, getting dumped out of the ring.
I'm sure she did. She also had a highlight reel with her match with Effie, which I had to deal with, and I felt so bad for putting that on her, and I've adjusted my moveset because of that.
Oh, I forgot but about also, this controversy. This happened in San Francisco, right? At the Ugwa show,
yes, it did. It did. Yeah. After I'd already wrestled the GCW show, and I went over there, and literally, I was like, what do you want to do? And we put the match together, and she was like, I really want to do a powerbomb, and I was like, I got a way to set it up. Do you care if we do this? And she's like, no, that's fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. And we did it. I need people to understand that what happens in the ring between two opponents... Hate to kill your kayfabe. We've had the discussion. Yes. And I understand they're going to say, oh, well, it's power at play. Oh, maybe she won't get booked if she doesn't agree to the spot. Go talk to anyone in that locker room. I was exhausted after a three-day weekend. We had driven to San Francisco. I was putting together, let me make this as easy as possible. Here's how we get from one place to another without me losing my brain. This isn't me going, I hope I trick her into seeing my crotch. It's me going, I don't care if you headbutt me in the dick and do the powerbomb. It's the easiest way to get me up for it, and we don't have to think about this anymore. You know?
Yeah.
I love Sandra Moon. I'm sorry. I'm not going off on a tangent here.
No, she's great.
She
didn't deserve any of that.
Give it to me. I don't give a shit. Give it to me. Say I grabbed my dick with Jon Moxley. Say I humped a girl in the face. But don't come after her.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, she's still booked. I guess it works. I don't know.
She's killing it. She's on her way to Japan. Shout out to Sandra Moon.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Frequently mentioned name on the show.
And still so humble and so wonderful and just kind to everyone.
Yeah.
But she will be on her way. Ass.
Oh, she will destroy you. That match is going to bang. I can't wait to see it. Let's see the rest of this card here.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Let's talk about East versus West first. East versus West is... All these girls talk so much shit, and all these girls say West Coast, Best Coast, East Coast, South Coast.
I mean, I don't want to say it's a fact, but it's a fact.
I just want to say that everyone in this match rips and is awesome, and the only winner is the fans. And I know, listen, is it a lot of people in a match? Yeah, but being in these sort of matches, seeing these weird team-ups, seeing how people work together who are sometimes opponents or have been across from each other, I think is super fascinating. And when you've got something on the line, like the pride of the coast, you know, I don't think they ever figured it out in the 90s. I think we still got to figure it out. If Biggie and Tupac couldn't figure it out, guess what? Maybe the gays can. Yes. I don't know.
I agree.
Okay, so this is – I'm going to point out Carlos Romo versus Devon Monroe. Every time I book Carlos Romo, it's pretty much in a match with another hot guy so that people could see two hot guys having a great match. And I've tried to remind him. I'm like – listen, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a technical masterpiece if you don't want. They kind of want to see you shake your butt and maybe do a few things. It's still a technical masterpiece. Him versus Vidal in Dallas last year was incredible.
Wow. That was amazing.
Devon Monroe has been on a tear, has been one of the First Avenue champions in Minneapolis for
destroying it over there for
forever. Sure. Yes. Yeah. And has such a strong reaction in those shows. And I'll say this, I've seen Devon just develop such a self-worth over this last year that is. It's confident, it's true, and I think he's finally seeing that, like, yeah, you do have some cool shit going on, you need to trust it. And to see these two go at it, Carlos has been on a tear, he's motivated in America. I don't have much more to say other than I'm going to be watching.
Carlos was so fun watching Carlos last weekend as well.
And he's been wrestling a lot longer than people realize, and he has such a technical background. And when he sort of lets himself loose, specifically that match with Yo-Yo at JCW, I don't know if you saw it, he was being such a little brat. And I was like, this is what I love, be a little brat. It's perfect.
Very good.
All right, we got Sawyer Wreck and Kid Bandit here. I just want to say to Kid Bandit, I'm so sorry. The tradition of me putting you against people who are going to try to maybe kill you, throw you off stuff and throw you into chairs. Yes, it will continue. I've had to wrestle Sawyer Wreck this year. I'm teaming up with Sawyer Wreck this weekend. Sawyer is a monster, is a giant, is so much fun and playful. And I think that it's a good foil for Kid Bandit. Yeah, they're similar in a lot of ways. They both have a sick sense of humor, but to see Kid Bandit sort of own who she is and own who she wants to be and become sort of this new magical dark princess. I want to see how that tests against Sawyer Wreck and to see if there's more grit underneath there than we originally thought. And I think we're going to be surprised at the Kid Bandit showing here at Big A Brunch.
Sawyer looks like she's having fun when she's destroying people. Yeah. Like, not, some people are like, they're like, Mick Foley really likes this. But no, Sawyer's like, this is great. Like,
yeah, and she's
just
caught
a great wave or something. She's like, yeah, I just powerbombed somebody on the chair the other way. But that was really fun.
Me and the bad boy Joey Janela both took that top rope choke slam from her, and she giggling and smiling right afterwards. Yeah. She thought she had killed us both. That's the kind of competitor I wanted, a teammate, and that's who I want to book on the show. Did you almost kill me? Congrats, you're booked.
You're on.
Every match, she's smiling and laughing as she's putting people through doors and shit. I love it.
It's going to be great. I just got to keep her and Allie on the same page here. Well, maybe on different pages. When they're on the same page, they're kissing on the apron. So I gotta really watch this.
They might be distracted over there. You gotta keep it on the up and up with these people. But yeah, GCW's coming up. Yeah. You booked every weekend, every week.
Booked and busy. I took time off.
It's a great place to be, right, at this point?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think I've been kind of struggling with the fact that, like, during the first few periods of being a traveling professional wrestler full time, there is a lot of novelty. There are a lot of new places, new things to try, new foods to try. And so what I'm trying to do now is sort of pass the novelty, find more of the depth of it, and really make sure I'm doing my job and really make sure I'm taking advantage of all these places I'm going to, and I'm not missing out on opportunities. So it's been an interesting sort of shift that may not be noticeable to the public eye, but Effie's all business. Effie's here for the people. And I can't wait for a few more match announcements for LA to come out. Because there's one I'm thinking of in particular that I think is going to fuck everybody's world up.
We are so ready for it. Now, Mania weekend. It's going to be a great time. I'm going to be in LA. I'm going to be at the Gay Brunch. I'm going to be getting the whole entire time. So
I'm going to be sweaty and rattled.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Everybody's going to be sweaty because it's the UCC, honestly.
And remember, the only weed Effie's allowed to smoke is weed that is handed to him. For anyone in attendance, I can't buy it. I'm not allowed anymore.
Nope.
You have to hand it to me.
Okay.
Well, take that as a lesson, because you're up in my neck of the woods this weekend as you're in Toronto with GCW on Sunday. I live like an hour away. So,
oh yeah, please come.
It's sold out. Okay.
No. Hold up. Let me make some phone calls.
This is Effie.
Let me see what I can pull off. Mm-hmm. I snuck a Business Insider reporter into the Melrose show last time and about got in trouble.
I'm addicted to their YouTube channel. They have
the Business Insider one.
Yeah, all these like so expensive and like all this long standing traditional methods of like making things that still exist and like, you know, why
to be done this way and why technology can't advance certain industries.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And like how, you know, like modern machinery is trying to replace all of these like traditional methods, and they're like fighting to
climb on. I mean, what's crazy is artificial intelligence has been writing Monday Night Raw for the past 12 years. And you see how that's gone. That's terrible. You know?
I don't know. I don't watch it. I watch Monday Night Raw.
Vince Hall of Presidents. I created Hulk Hogan. And they just plug it into ChatGPT. And you're like, none of this makes sense. And they're like, it made less sense when he was actually doing it.
Wow. I mean, it's just a fact. I think to wrap this thing up, Effie, sell us on Big Gay Brunch. Why should... There's so many wrestling shows. My schedule, I don't even know how to plan this WrestleMania week. People are like, what are you doing? I'm like, there's so many shows going on at the same time.
Yeah.
There's shows, all this. Why should people be at the Big Gay Brunch number 6?
All right. Number one reason you need to come to the Big Gay Brunch, it's the best pregame spot before WrestleMania. We've got cheap drinks. Boom. We've got great action. I asked Brad, I said, Brad, I want to do the show at 3 p.m. And he said, no, that's WrestleMania starting like an hour after that. And I was like, I didn't even know that was happening. So that 11 a.m. spot, it actually works out great for the East Coast to watch at 2 p.m. But listen, Los Angeles, I need you to wake up. Sometimes you can barely get there for an 8 o'clock p.m. show.
That's a fact.
Wake up, come get drunk, feel the environment. Beyond any matches, beyond any wrestlers, it is, you know, and I'm saying this because it's my show, but also it's the most fun I have at any kind of show. There's just a sense of community and friendship and support and party and excitement and destruction. And you get to see my favorite version of queer acceptance, which is when you boo someone, not because they're queer, but because they're a piece of shit.
Fantastic. Amazing. Before we wrap things up, I do want to, I just want to acknowledge a super chat that we got here from Van Twinblade. Hi from the whiteboard guy at Glory Pro.
Mm-hmm. Hello. I love your whiteboard. Thank you for changing it. We've taken lots of fun pictures together. I think I will be back at Glory Pro pretty soon, but I can't say yet.
Mm. Fantastic. And Big Gay Brunch is on Saturday, April 1st. It'll be 11 a.m. Pacific time, which means I get to watch it at 2 p.m.
Yes.
Which
is actually the time gay brunch occurs.
There you go.
Like, if homosexuals are eating brunch, it's at 2 p.m., not 11 a.m. I'm sorry. There's restrictions. I can't do it any later. Y'all just got to wake up. I know you got circuit parties the night
before.
It's going
to be tough. A Friday night and then waking up for the big gay brunch. But do it, you guys. Get some five-hour energy.
I just need everyone to remember, no matter how tired you are, I am more tired.
Way more tired.
It is such a release to get to that point of the weekend. It's going to be my last match of the weekend, I'm fairly certain. And it's just a let it all go thing where we all have the best time of our life.
Yes.
Hey, if anyone can respect sleeping in, it's me. But only if you're on the East Coast. West Coast, wake up.
West Coast, wake up. You can go to bed after WrestleMania.
During WrestleMania, like I
would. Well, I don't know. Cody's going to give us a show. I'm actually really excited. Cody Roman, I think, is going to be a...
Don't be putting over WWE on this effie. Hey. That's where I draw the line,
you know,
buddy.
Cody's an indie legend. I don't know if you guys know this, but Cody actually, when he got released from WWE, he went on the indies and he joined just the most successful faction possible immediately, took every high profile booking and then ran to ROH and took their structure and then ran to Tony Khan. I don't know. I'm fascinated by the guy. I'll open a school to help AEW get new people and I'll see you later. It's very odd.
A lot going on, honestly.
I have his dad tattooed on my foot, so I don't want to be, I'm not trying to be rude, but it's a strange, weird thing. And, you know, maybe one day selfishness will catch up to me and I'll do the same, but not quite.
Buy a ticket for Big Gay Brunch.
Buy a ticket for Big Gay Brunch. BGBLA.eventbrite.com.
Where can we find you? Where can we invest? You have streams, you got merch, you got all the things. Let us know where we can get the best of Effie.
On Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, I think. Maybe on TikTok, Effie Lives. Mm-hmm. I have a podcast called Weekend at Effie's that you can listen to. It's me and my friend Peter. He doesn't watch wrestling at all, and I explain my weekends and my travels with him. Amazing. It's free. You can listen to it. And wrestlingis.gay, if you want to buy some wrestling, Wrestling Is Gay merchandise and fans and other cool stuff to let everyone know, you know, how gay wrestling actually is. Well, it's there. I just got a memory in my head of Eric Rowan for the first time this weekend seeing all my Wrestling Is Gay merch. And he goes, that doesn't seem nice to do. And I was like, no, I mean it like, not like it's a good thing. And he was like, does it sell? And I was like, oh yeah, brother. And then, we became fast friends after that. But he was very...
That doesn't seem like a nice thing.
He said, this seems really hateful. I was like, no, it's all in love.
Yeah. It's not the 1994 derogatory usage.
This is like in the Flintstone song.
Okay. Yes. We love it.
Reg, where can people find you at?
At Righteous Reg on all your social medias. And every Saturday, I'm on the Grab City podcast on Fightful, talking wrestling. Tomorrow's Ask Grab City, the ROH post show with Kate. I got a lot going on. I love professional wrestling. You guys know what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to hear about Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, me too. I'm super interested in it.
And myself, I use Twitter and I don't really do anything else besides the show because I work a full time day job and I like have a wife and kid and shit. It's
life.
It's hard enough. It's hard enough. Responsibility. It's hard enough to watch like three or four indie shows every week to find shit to talk about here every Wednesday, and then still do all that. Mm-hmm. No more. We're good.
Here's what you do: you just watch them on 2x speed. And then you'll get through them a lot faster. Oh. And then you'll be like, man, this guy's way slower in person than I remember, because you'll forget that you smoked weed and double speeded the the wrestling.
No, nah, see, I like commander matches, and that's just too much. Like, my eyes will be like,
That would be ideal, but maybe, you know, I'll use this time for a quick PSA. Hey, Fight TV and IWTV, can you add the on the replays the ability to watch in a faster speed?
Yeah,
that would be amazing. No one has it right now, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't go and watch a replay on any of the platforms and speed it up. The only thing I can do is do the rewind, like skip back or forward 10 seconds.
YouTube, you can adjust the speed, which is great. Mm-hmm. The amount of half speed moves I've watched trying to replicate just over and over. What a feature for wrestlers to be able to just look at moves and go like, how the fuck did he do that? Mm-hmm. And slow it down.
Love it.
Well, Effie, thank you so much for joining us here. It was great talking to you.
Amazing.
Again, tickets for Big Gay Brunch. The link is in the description below the video. So click it and go buy a ticket. And
thank you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for hanging out with us here.
Thanks, Effie.
A lot of people in the chat. Thank you for watching. We appreciate you spending any amount of time with us at all. Check your socials, find an independent wrestling show, go find your favorite wrestlers, their merch store, buy a piece of merch, support your favorite wrestlers, and we'll see you next week.
Peace. See you soon.